Blog Talk Radio.
Contact information listed here on the show page and all of James' previous shows that James has done so beautifully, all in the demand section here in Journey into Light. Just keep flipping back for the weeks and you'll find each show that James has done. Next week will be James's final show on Journey into Light, so make sure you're here next week for sure also. So here is James Peterson.
Thank you very much, Michael, and thank you everyone again for joining us. You know, what a journey this has been. Just making the choice to do this radio show and wanting to share the truth about the true art path, and every show trying to find some way to help people to connect with that truth in themselves. So every week I've had different guests come on and share about their truth. And it's their truth. It's what they experience. It's nothing we can judge. It's something they've experienced as their truth, their way of connecting with spirit, their way of aligning with what's real in them. And when I say that, I say the same with you. It's about connecting with what's real in you. So this show, Living Your True Heart Path, has really been about finding a way to help people to find a way back home to themselves. So every person I've had on as a guest in the last year, they've had this way of connecting with who they are, why they're here, what gifts they have to share. And I know so often we get so caught up in our lives and we wonder what it's all about and how do we find a way out of these prisons we find ourselves in. We feel trapped in these different realities that seem to be just this place where we're lost and we're trying to find our way back home. And it really is trying to find a way back home. And what home can be? Home can only be something where it's eternal. It's something where when we're there, we know that that's our resting place. That's when we're standing in truth. And the best way I can describe that is it's true love. It's this love that always is, will always be. and is always inside you and always surrounding you, and it's what you truly are. So that's your true heart. And I know they're just words, and I say, you know, they're just words, how we define things. For example, my guest today is Nancella Howe, and she's an in-house shaman in the School of Golden Discs. And I've had Zane Marston on my show, and we talked about him and his path and his beautiful wife, Mariah, that passed on, and how she's still working with him and helping him to continue to live and share this truth that the Tibetan brought through about our multidimensional nature and connecting with our magical child and going into the depths of our being to this place of our most natural being, this most natural way of being, the spiritual being we are. So Nancella, being a shaman, that's a word. You know, what is a shaman? I mean, I've had many people on this show that could very often, you know, say that they're a shaman. I mean, they've plumped the depths of their soul. They've gone to these other worlds to find out these truths about who they are. And whether it's someone that's connecting with people that passed on, people that we see die here in the physical and go on to the other dimension, and they're communicating through her to their loved ones, which I just think is so beautiful that Tracy Flutie talked about and shared with us. And then you have people like Zelda that's a shaman, Zelda Hotelling, and in this way she brought in all this beautiful information about these sacred hoops and how they're the circuitry that's really helping us to come home to ourselves by this journey we all take, this journey we all take through the light, this journey we find this way of really becoming more and more acquainted with our spiritual nature. And Jack Traber was on my show several times, and he talked about us being light beings and what it means to be these energy beings and how we're an energetic universe. And then Diane Foster, this energy healer, and talking again about how she is able to do these energy sessions with people and help them to heal their past lives. As Barbara Stone talked about on my radio show, and now she does these past life healings and regressions, which I was able to take that training and really experience for myself doing regressions with people and bringing them back to a point in time where they had these past lives where they were killed or died in a natural event, and I helped them go back to that point and feel it and see it and heal. So what I see with all these light beings that have come through on my radio show in this last year is that we all are these light beings. That's our truth. That's what we are. So when Nancella talks about being a shaman, she has this way of really helping us to identify with our spiritual nature and spiritual reality. And we talk about this idea of the shadow self. And this shadow self, this part of ourself that's like in the dark, the part of ourself we don't really want to acknowledge that's a part of who we are. We don't really want to say that we are this, that we could feel that we could have that experience. So this way of experiencing our spiritual nature is going through all these judgments we have about ourselves, all these doubts we have about ourselves, all these ways of framing things in certain ways that limit how we really see ourselves and each other. And that's the real key. The only thing that's separating us is our beliefs. So being a shaman, that's considered very often a Native American concept. These shamans, they can go into the underworld, and they can find people in the underworld. They can help retrieve aspects of their soul. Now, I never forget when I first had my friend Rhea DeMarco, and she's a shaman, and she does energy reintegration. And I must have been in my early 20s, and she did soul retrieval for me. And I had no idea what to expect. And here she is connecting me with my child selves that were abandoned back earlier in my life. And they were like in this cave. And this one child was in this cave, and this water was just going over its head. And he was just watching this water and the rainbow above its head and just so totally in awe of it. But he was abandoned at some point by me because I at some point said, you know what, I can't really accept or acknowledge you. I'm going to be rejected if I accept you. I'm not going to be able to be loved and appreciated. And it's going to be painful if I accept you as a part of myself. But the reality is that is a part of myself, and that's not a part of myself that I can deny. At some point, I've got to reintegrate that back into who I am because that is a certain gift that it's offering me. So within ourselves, we have all these aspects that make up who we are, and they can be considered soul fragments because they make up all of what our journey is about. And along the way, we can begin to bring these parts back of ourselves. And truthfully, every single moment's that opportunity to bring back these pieces of our soul, there are the opportunities to be able to see parts of ourselves and we say, you know what, I'm ready to love you. I'm ready to accept you as a part of myself. And whatever happens with other people, they reject me or whatever, I'm going to accept you. And then a magical thing happens. We begin to experience our wholeness. We begin to experience our multidimensional nature. We begin to experience ourselves as a spiritual being having a human experience. And then little by little, all these judgments start to fade and evaporate because they no longer serve us. We recognize we can't hold on to these judgments anymore because they're not true. They're not true. Because in a way, just as our body, every single cell in our body has all the information for everything. It has that DNA that considers all the instructions for all of life. However, at some point, that cell gets a function within the body as a heart cell, as a lung cell, as a kidney cell, as a toenail cell. But they're all equal. And they all retain their original worth and their original value, their original wholeness, which is everything. They're all of it. But they decide to provide that certain function that they choose to be able to play out in this life. And in the body, every single part is needed. Every single part is required for the plan and for the operation of the body. So in the same way, we're all souls. And even though we're playing these roles where we see are different or less than or more than, we're all always equal in worth and value. There's one love. There's one heart. There's one mind. And that's the mind and the heart and the soul of God. God is all that is. When we say I am actually means all that is. All that is. The universe. The one. So we always are that. But we decide to individuate from that. We decide to give expression to that and have all these explorations that we go on, all these different journeys to bring all this information back to the whole. So a shaman has the ability to go into the underworld and to gather all these ancient wisdom or this real essential knowledge about what we are as a spiritual being and all these things that are limiting us. And the shaman brings the information back to our society, back into the culture that we can then begin to recover who we are. So we're all in that process. If you're going through a difficulty in your life, you're learning to go through that difficulty for all of us. You're learning to help us to find a way, to find a way to really get back to a place of truth in this place of chaos, to find order in this chaos, to find meaning and purpose in your life no matter what you're going through. So if you're going through an abusive relationship or a job that seems just meaningless, or if you're going through a health crisis, every single thing you're going through is holographic. Everything you're going through is the opportunity to serve all of us because we're all connected. And whatever you do for yourself. There's that expression, one for all and all for one. So break it down. All for one. Everyone is serving you. And one for all, and you're serving everyone. So when we talked to Nancela about being a shaman and her experience of being a shaman, at some point, she recognized that part of her nature, that part of her spiritual nature that is shamanic, that helps her to connect with all these different worlds and to serve this purpose for us. And one of the things I always saw when I was growing up with all these spiritual beings that had these beautiful gifts is that very often we couldn't identify with their gifts. We couldn't really appreciate and understand their gifts. And they had all these beautiful things they wanted to share with us, but people weren't open to it. So my advice to everyone is that as you open more and more to yourself, you're going to open more and more to spiritual reality. You're going to begin to see that all these people that are surrounding you have all these spiritual gifts to offer you when you're ready. The teacher will come when you're ready. The teacher will arrive when you're ready to receive that gift, and not until, because you can only resonate with what you are, and that's your consciousness. And as your consciousness expands, you align with and you resonate with what's perfect for you right now. So you don't need to worry about where you're going to be or where you're going to go. Just be where you are right now, because the only one that's going to save you, the only one that's going to free you is yourself. And the only way you're going to do that is through love. The more you can love yourself, the more you can accept yourself, the more you can appreciate yourself, the more you can align with the beauty and the truth of who you are, the more everything's going to come into being that is a part of your spiritual reality. And that's the only thing you're lacking is awareness. You don't lack anything in worth or value or substance. The only thing you're lacking is awareness. And that's just recognizing and becoming more aware of the light that you are, the light that you become for everyone and everything on this planet when you live your true heart. So the more you free yourself, the more you become aware of all that you are, the more you become that shaman that can go into the depths of your own soul, into your own spiritual reality and all these dimensions and recover all these aspects of yourself, you bring together all your gifts into the surface and bring it back into this dimension of existence, you have served your soul's purpose. And you are serving me, and you're serving your neighbor and your family and your friends by being you. Because that's your only job, and it's only ever been your only job. It's to be you. So just tell yourself, all these things I believe about myself that aren't serving me, I'm willing to let them go now. I'm willing to open my mind. I'm willing to let go of control. I'm willing to surrender to my true heart. I'm willing to live my heart moment to moment. I'm willing to connect with my shamanic nature and connect with all these other realms to align myself with all the support on my journey so that I can see I am never alone and I have everything that I need to be able to complete my purpose. And there you go. You're walking your true heart path. So this is my last guest on this radio show I've done for the last year. And next week I'm going to just talk about living our true heart. And I'm going to really try to ground it in a way that you can really say, I am ready to live my true heart. And you're going to experience the most beautiful, the most amazing, most miraculous journey that really can only be lived moment to moment. You can never go beyond that moment because that moment is where everything exists. The oneness exists. All that you are exists. Everything you're connected to exists right here, right now. So I feel really privileged again to have another light worker on this show to talk about their truth, to share about their path, and to share about their journey and their gifts that they offer us. So, Michael, can you please bring Nacelle on for me, please?
Hi.
Nacelle,
can you hear me?
Thank you.
Hi.
I can hear you perfectly.
Oh, excellent. James, that was a beautiful rap you gave. I mean, it was really heartfelt, and I thought, oh my God, you're touching on things I was going to express myself. So it was a beautiful lead-in.
Well, you can elaborate because I know you're so passionate about being a shaman and everything you've been able to do to help other people. So maybe just share with us what is being a shaman?
Well, you know, there's a part of me that, you know, says, am I really a shaman? But I think really what's come down over the past year is I am a shamanist. Like people are Taoist, Jewish, you know. It's become part of my religion. It's my major focus and practice. And the reason I say that is because it teaches me and reminds me of the interconnectedness to the web of life, to everything. I have a daily practice of It's become a practice of gratitude. So opening the seven directions, you know, and then I thank the directions, the east, the west, the north, the south, and then I connect with, I call her Pachamama, the earth mother, and I have such deep passion, and I think this is what feeds my soul, is honoring our Mother Earth. You had mentioned earlier that, you know, we're all seeking to go home, and the Earth Mother wants us to be rooted on the Earth. I have a belief that when we are fully in our body, because some people have the misconception that when you journey, you leave your body, and instead, you fully embody yourself. And then you allow the compassionate helping spirits from other dimensions to work with you. And so my vision is that we are the rainbow bridge, and we sink our roots into the earth, and we bring heaven onto earth.
What a beautiful vision.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So, you know, I honor the earth, what she gives us, you know, the tree, the root, I call them the root people, the stone people, a home for the two, four multi-legged beings, you know, for the birds, for the fish, honoring the caretakers and the invisible realm. I honor the spirit of the water, the air, you know, the fire, sunlight, reminding us that we all are, you know, aspects of a shining light, the stars. You know, if we can each see ourselves as shining stars and sending radiant light out into the world, you know, that's my passion. I feel like with the craziness that's going on in the world, you know, many a times I think, well, what am I doing? And I realize, how I'm holding those, my community, my loved ones, the land, everyone who, you know, I consider them Ayus that I've ever encountered and future P. And if I can just hold them all, you know, sending out love and light, I feel like I'm doing my soul's purpose, because it's not until we align and recognize that we are light beings. We also
You ever heard the expression homotakawasan?
Pardon?
You ever heard the expression homotakawasan?
No.
I think I'm saying it correctly. It means all our relations. I just love
all
the idea that
yes.
we're connected to everyone and everything.
Yes, we really are. That's I always say goodnight to all my relations and good morning before I go to bed or when I wake up. Those are the future and those are the past.
And I think one of the things that we separated ourselves from nature. We think of ourselves as human beings separate from nature. Would you talk more about that?
Yes, it's so sad in the sense of people feeling separate from nature. I feel like she's such a teacher to us. You know, I could be, you know, a simple example is you're sitting there and you're thinking of something and then you see the hawks flying overhead. Well, if you track, what were you thinking at that moment? And I feel like they're affirming and giving you a message. You know, that's one small example, but I feel like we are, you know, totally, the earth is a living entity, and we are her children. And so it's really important that as children that we return home and honor her and recognize, you know, what are we doing to the water, to the air? Simple way is really paying attention to the words we choose. You know, are we sending those words out into the universe, love words, or are we sending out fear, toxic poison?
Well, I know when you think about nature, it seems like it's this physical thing outside of us, that it's not, it doesn't have its own presence, doesn't have its own consciousness. It doesn't have its own purpose, whatever you want to say. And you think about our body, I love the idea that our body is containing the stars. Nitrogen is the stars.
Yes.
They come from the other galaxies. And we have bacteria in our body, and that bacteria is so perfectly working with our digestive system. So there's this biosystem within our body, and there's this celestial aspect to our body. You know, even the Chinese talk about that we're these cosmological beings, that we're connected to this whole energy system, and we're not limited to just this reductionist point of view that science looks at us through.
Right. I find it almost impossible to feel like I'm separate from nature. You know, I feel like I have such a deep affinity with her. You know, this is the time of the year that I can't wait to get my hands in the garden, and it's solely just touching the earth, walking barefoot. You know, there is a very strong pulse. You know, she has a heartbeat. And we have a responsibility to take care of our home. And to become embodied, and being embodied is being part of nature. You know, we have the cycles of seasons reminding us, you know, growing. You know, I visualize the trees as symbolisms of, you know, aside from the plants of nourishing us and feeding us and giving us the oxygen. I mean, without nature, we wouldn't be able to survive on this planet. But she also teaches us to put our roots down and stretch out to the heavens and sway with the winds of change.
I think that the spirit of gratitude is just the way that really aligns us with everything. When we can be grateful, you know, I've had friends that are Native American in the Lakota Sioux tradition, and you know, they get up in the morning and they just put their arms out to the sun.
Yes.
And somehow I feel like connected with whether it's a past life, whatever it is, but I find myself doing that so often. I put my arms way out, and I've had the sun come into my heart, and I can actually feel my heart vibrating with the sun, because there's no distance, there's no separation. So I just feel my heart vibrating in the sun. And, you know, it's like Superman going up into the atmosphere and taking that sun. I really feel like I'm taking in the energy of the sun, and it's nourishing me.
Oh, it is, right. And it's such a wonderful concept of, you know, you, what you're doing is you're connecting with the divine light, you know. I mean, think of the sun. You know, it doesn't ask anything back from us. It just keeps on shining, keeps on radiating light. And wouldn't it be wonderful that if we all were in that consciousness of just pouring out our light without expectation of what do I get back in return?
And I think, too, also that every single living expression of God that a flower is, that a tree is, that any particular animal is, it's like, what would the world be like without that? Imagine the world without this particular flower, that, you know, this beautiful flower that just expresses itself in a certain way and it has a certain relationship to nature, what needs to be in the sun in a certain way and a certain kind of soil, but it brings about this beautiful expression that it is. And same with any particular animal. You take any animal, what would it be like that without have elephants? You never have another elephant.
Oh,
never
God,
express another elephant.
I know.
So every single thing is a beautiful expression of the one.
It is. It really is. And it will be such a sad day when, you know, we're watching the extinction of so many, you know, species dwindling down and all people would ever. And then people would no longer be connected to preserving these animals. You know, like the elephants. How much contact have, you know, present generations had with elephants? And so it's in the distance. And people really don't think about what they're bringing us and their depth and their, you know, their memory of what, you know, and how they have such deep, deep emotion.
My friend Sharon LaPierre, she's an animal communicator. I've had her on the show a few different times. And she has the ability to connect with an animal. She can connect with a cat, with a dog, with a horse. She can actually dialogue, actually learn about what they're wanting, what they're needing, what they're thinking about. She recognizes they have past lives that they've been connected. Like my cat Luscious. I mean, I have this cat Luscious. She's in the womb right now.
Great name.
She's purring. She's purring away. So I'm with her, but Sharon starts sharing me that, you know, you spent many lifetimes with this cat, and to just identify, wow, my cat has spent many lifetimes with, and here she is with me again in this lifetime. And then she's talking about how your cat just loves this shrimp you gave her. Well, I didn't give her any shrimp. And I remember, oh my God, last week I gave her shrimp. So she's actually talking to my cat about shrimp that she loved and saying, I want more of that. How beautiful is that? You know,
it's
so you talk about
beautiful.
These connections are real.
They are. You know, like what I love about shamanism is that it teaches you that everything that exists is alive and has a spirit. So you go from our pets to the plants to, you know, the air and the water. You
even
know,
a stone.
And a stone. I know. I love my stones. You know, that there's a living spirit that lives in everything. And I think this is what feeds my passion, because it shows to me the interconnectedness and no longer a separation from other forms.
Well, I talk about the body. You know, in the body, there's the heart as an organ, there's the liver as an organ, you have your toenails, you have your hair, you have your ears, your nose, your eyes. And just imagine that every single one of these different organs is like a different species. But they're all a part of the one. They're all made of the universal substance. They're just giving expression, which we all have equal access to this universal intelligence. We all have the ability to express anything, but we're choosing to express as a human being. Now, just think about that. That means that everything is equal, everything has a purpose, everything is interconnected, and everything is serving everything.
Exactly. And, you know, you need each part to be honored. You cannot neglect your liver. And think that this is not going to be, you know, repercussions to your body.
And we need to eat. And in order to eat, we need the sun to be able to help things to grow, the things to eat what are growing, and then to eat those things that have grown. And they're all a part of us, and they become part of our blood system. They become a part of our life. And then we breathe it out, and it goes into the universe again and cycles.
Right. And the cycle, you know, that's why I honor the elements of the earth and the water. Without water, you know, we would not be able to survive. We're on a water planet, you know. I visualize, you know, my waters connecting with the waters, and then I send out healing energy. And it's not even healing energy. What I visualize is radiant light in the cells of the waters, you know, and I do this, you know, even with dear friends when I know they're going through difficulty or hardship or a challenge, rather than going, oh, you know, oh, my heart goes out to them, I visualize and say, I see your soul. I see you in your light. And, you know, and I think we each need to do that to ourselves. You know, you were talking about, you know, loving ourselves. Well, we do have to love ourselves. If we cannot fully love ourselves, how can we ever fully love anyone else and the earth? So it's really important to, you know, to start honoring and being in gratitude. Thank my body. Yeah.
I mean, love is a power. People look at it as an emotion. It's actually a force. You know, may the force be with you. I mean, there's a Feinhorn Association I read about one time, The Secret Life of Plants, and it talks all about that they had this fertilizer that they were using, and this really great fertilizer, but at the same time, they use love. They use their consciousness. They use their intention. And in doing that, these plants grew better than any other fertilizer that ever could be used. And they studied this, and they said, oh, my God, you know, our love is an energy. Our love is affecting these plants. Our love is causing and nurturing these plants to be able to bring about the highest expression of themselves.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's my and who knows how, you know, how the earth is going to respond to me, but I have four. I mean, I live on an old apple orchard, but I also planted peach trees and cherry trees. And last year, they were barren. So this year, every day, I've been going to the trees, and I just send them so much love. You know, I'll kiss their butt, and I'll sing them a song and tap the earth. And I, you know, thinking, I just want them to know how much I appreciate their beauty, you know. And if I'm gifted with the fruit, great. If I'm not, it's okay. You know, I'm not holding any conditions on it, but it's the experiment to just keep on showing your love. You know, one of the, to me, the true aspect of shamanism is that we see through our hearts. And the core practice is only love that heals, and that we do heal through the power of love.
You know, and I think love sometimes we think it's something, really it's our attention. We're putting our attention on something, we're putting our intention on something, and we're just wanting the best for this. We're wanting the highest expression. We're wanting it to be nurtured. We're wanting it to be strengthened. We're just wanting the best for this. We're wanting the best for our child. We're wanting the best for our dog, our cat. We're wanting the best for our coworkers. We're wanting the best for this world.
We do. And we have to really... On the same point, also being open to not putting conditions on wanting, you know, like what is the best for your child? What is the best for the world? I mean, you know, do we have the ability to get the bigger picture, you know, and see what is the best for each person? Because we each come to the planet, you know, as these beautiful light beings. And we readily agreed to come here. We weren't kicked onto the earth. We chose to be here. And we also chose to, how do we navigate through the challenges? And I believe the biggest mission is coming through these challenges, how do we navigate and move into a state of grace, gratitude, and love?
Well, one of the things I've seen, you know, counseling all these years, the most important thing to start with is fully accepting exactly and who and where and what you are. Because when you get to that place, you just fully accept, you're getting to this place of really you're really aligning yourself with what is, not trying to think about something else or what you should be or what should be. Because like you said, there's this tapestry that the high self, that God, that all that is, the angels see, that we don't see in these little minds. We just see what's in front of us. Well, we don't know what it's a part of. We don't know what it's connected to. And our belief systems can limit us in seeing ourselves and seeing everyone and everything. So if we can let go of all these limited belief systems and surrender to the truth of what is, it's like always there's a gift.
It is. It is. And it is surrendering to the mystery and having that deep trust of, to me, the trust is believing in the divine love and light, that it works out. Even, you know, a tragic experience. And then in hindsight, you can turn around and say, you know, it was orchestrated divinely. It was perfect. And look how much I've grown out of this and evolving and embracing the fullness of the experience. Mm-hmm. And not
I think it is a personal self. We have personal needs. We have personal feelings. We have personal ways of looking at things. There are cultural perspectives. There are families, system perspective on things. And when we learn to be able to identify that these are just ways that we're like an incubator, this isn't really what we are, it helped us to, you know, go into that point where we finally say, you know what, I choose to be who I am. I choose to live the truth of who I am. I choose to live my true heart. I choose to live and come from the place of my imagination and what I'm most passionate about.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it's like you're breaking free from this cosmic egg, and you come into this awareness of, oh, my God, look what this world's really about. Look what I can really offer now. Now that I know who I am.
Right, exactly. I mean, I feel like I've been offering, been doing a workshop on, you know, living the life you really want to live, that your soul wants to express. And it's actually, we'll be doing a second run of the class. And one of the major pieces is helping people identify, like, what parts, you know, what were the old themes and patterns that had dictated, you know, and can you fully recondition, make new choices and let go of the old beliefs? And that's work, you know. It takes years for us to get to that place to be able to finally maybe see fully the patterns, or being able to say, I'm going to live the life my heart calls forth. And I feel like, you know, I'm 66 years old, and I truly now in my life feeling I live the life my soul is asking for. And, you know, James, it's just shocking to see, you know, how the universe is just, I feel like it's given me this yes, 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 because I'm aligning my values, my beliefs, my passion in love and gratitude.
So you come into that oneness, and that oneness is really being in unity with your thoughts, your feelings, and your spirit, and everything being aligned. And you recognize then you're in the universe that you're one with, and everything serves you. I know exactly what you're saying. When I chose to be myself, when I chose to live my true heart, everything came into being to serve me in doing that.
Yes, it is like a miracle. You go, oh my God, it is possible. Yeah.
And I think that's the way that people can say, you know what, when I really decide to take that leap, when I really decide to be who I am, I might be doing this job that doesn't seem to fit. I might be in this relationship that's not working. However, I'm willing to live my true heart. I'm willing to be able to keep walking that path, keep letting things fall away that aren't me, and then start learning to be aligned with the things that are me. And all of a sudden, I'm moving to this world that all of a sudden it's like heaven on earth.
It is. It is. I really do feel like we are capable of living our own forms of heaven on earth. It's not denying, you know, the heaviness that goes on around us. However, it's us bringing the lightness, our radiance. And I think that's the true mission, at least for myself. And I express it through, you know, my shamanic practice.
So I'm going to ask you a question, Stella. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to kind of give people a sense of how a shaman works. So let's just say you have a client in front of you right now. So you're sitting in your chair, this client's in front of you, and this client's saying, you know, I'm just feeling really lost. I've been depressed for so long. I'm on Zoloft, and I just don't see any way of my life changing. My job is just not working, and everything seems like it's just this dark shadow, this cloud above me. And how can you help me as a shaman to be able to heal?
Well, I would first off open sacred space. And then I would really ask for to become a hollow bone. And being a hollow bone is I ask divine, I work with the Divine Mother, and I just call on her to say, please help me, you know, push aside my own personal ego and so that I can open the flow. I would, at that point, ask the person to, you know, I would pick up certain cues from what they were talking about, okay? Let's really work with the imagery, dark cloud around you, and take them on a shamanic journey to explore, you know, where did this originate from? What aspects of their lives is showing this darkness? Because I feel like they do need to go into the deeper terrains and look at the shadow piece. They might need what I call a dismemberment, you know, first identifying what is that core pattern. And if this theme keeps on coming up and you know, you looked at it at different stages of your life, and then I would have them, if they're at a point ready to be moving beyond, is to take them on an inner journey. And I probably would take them to the lower world. You know, in shamanism, there's three worlds. You have the upper, middle, and lower world. And if you think of it as a hologram, there's no hierarchy. Each has its beautiful gifts. But I would take them to the lower world and ask them to work with a spirit guide, a power animal. And I'd be talking them through this whole thing, having them interact, be paying attention to what's going through their body, you know, wanting to really, I work with a lot of breathing, you know, using the breath to help them center. And then journey to ask to have this literally dismembered, to be removed and surrender. And then when they feel they have been dismembered, to then call on the divine spirit to be remembered and put back together again, you know, in a much more balanced, deeply healed place. And then there's, you know, the work that would come of having to actively afterwards. You know, and I encourage my people to really pay attention for a full month of the old patterns are going to want to creep in. And that's when you have to be extremely conscious of what do you choose? Do you choose to go to the old scripts, the old tapes, and say, ba, 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 you know, every time I do this, this is what happens. You know, watching the negative critical voices coming in. And just tell them, one tool that I encourage people is when that's happening, just go into your heart, do some breathing, and start going into a place of gratitude. If they can find one piece in their life that they can express gratitude, it's just like a flower. It keeps on opening and opening. So that's how, you know, in a short version, how I would do some work with people.
Mm-hmm. I think that was really clear. You take them on a shamanic journey. And, I mean, people might understand what a shamanic journey is. Like, you know, I'll never forget when I first having shamanic experiences myself, what would happen was I would begin to hear these high-pitched sounds, these vibrations I was hearing.
Uh-huh.
And when I would hear that vibration, all of a sudden I would just go somewhere, and I go through these wormholes. Like, I remember the movie Contact, going through these wormholes.
Yes.
Well, I experienced going through all these wormholes, like going shooting here and shooting there, and I'm just there in my body thinking, what the heck is going on? Where am I going? How can I be going? I'm in this body. Where am I going all around? I'm just sitting here. I'm just laying here. So, and then I'd have these experiences over and over again. And I'd go sometimes into these underworlds and sometimes into the higher worlds.
Yeah.
I would be like this energy sometime, and I'd be this energy going to other people. I would be, you know, even the other day I was having this experience where I was going through this, you know, wormhole, and I end up going like under the ground. I'm going, oh my God, I don't want to get stuck under the ground. And I'm going, well, how can I get stuck? I'm in consciousness. So,
Right.
So I just think that
did you go into the ground?
And it brought me to like a past life experience where I had to go through a healing. So I knew what that was about.
Mm-hmm.
And another time I remember going through all these wormholes and everything, and then all of a sudden seeing this picture of myself as a little boy that I had on my wall. I'm going, what's this all about? I went through all these wormholes, and all of a sudden seeing this picture. Then I remember when I was a little boy, I had this picture on the wall. I went downstairs to my basement. I go, do I still have it? I go, well, there it is. Went upstairs, put it on my wall. And
oh,
I knew
that
energy needed to be represented, and I think the shift outside affected the shift inside, and I reintegrated with that part of myself.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. And it is it is a balance then, you know, moving through the old, you know, if you think like a compost pile, you know, we need to get, you know, pull out the old, give it out. I always visualize, I do two things when I'm removing intrusive energies or even old, you know, entanglements of beliefs. I call on the Earth Mother and ask her, could she take this and break it into compost so that a gift comes out. I also call on the angelic beings to catch it and transmute it and transform it into light and love.
You know, when we talk about shamanic experiences, like I said, I've had many different shamanic experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I said one time I want to be able to connect with this stone. It was a smoky quartz. And also I ended up being in this place where I was in this dimension where everything was vibrating so powerfully, so powerfully. I went through these different dimensions. And again, I just made a choice, the intention to connect with this stone. And it began to somehow take me into this place. And all of a sudden, I'm levitating feet first towards this woman. And she was like an older woman, it seemed like an older, wiser woman. And again, then all of a sudden I connected with her, and then I came back into my body. And I've had different experiences that different medicine people have given me to be able to go through these different experiences and going through the universe into this grid, and then coming through my third eye and then waking up. And I'm actually during the day, but I'm actually in the nighttime. So I go, I'm not back yet. I'm still during the day. I got to go back to the night. Then I go back to the night. And I think about people listening to this, they're going, what are you talking about, James? What do you mean going day and night? What do you mean traveling through wormholes and everything? You know, I don't think you really can really understand it until you experience it. And you're never going to experience it until you open yourself to the possibility of it. So all these other cultures have all these different ways of experiencing truth, all these ways of connecting with ourselves, our spiritual nature, our spiritual purpose. And I think it's just about saying, I'm willing to open myself. So Nancella, when you think about people that are out there listening right now and they're considering using your work, what would you say to them about how you help people and in the wide variety of ways you can help people?
Okay. One way, and I'm doing this currently, is, I work with people's dreams. So somebody can come in with a dream. It could even be a dream fragment. And we can go so deep with that journey back into that dream world and know that, you know, you have the capability of looking at all the dimensions and the shadow figures and what is shadow but unconsciousness and work from that point. If somebody's coming to me because of, you know, some serious trauma, well, that is a whole different level that I work very tenderly with. And very carefully, you know, because you cannot over flood somebody. I believe in just grounded. So, you know, there was a person recently that I worked, and I knew that what this person really needed was to come back into her body and really work on teaching her that, you know, loving herself, creating a safe place. And, you know, I take people on one of my favorite journeys I take people to is the upper world into a sacred garden. And I really, truly believe, because I go there myself often, that we all have a sacred space that we can go to. And learning the tools of when you need to go there, recognizing, you know, so if someone's going through in a state of depression, I encourage them to, you know, go into that first, begin with the, you know, go into the list of gratitude. I'm grateful for being here right this moment. I'm grateful for my dogs. I'm grateful for this beautiful land I live on. For this, you know, whatever it might be, you know, seeing that beautiful butterfly flying past, helping them move into a place of holding that place, and then go into the sacred garden to say, go to the every aspect, every tree, every sculpture, every part of that garden is an aspect of yourself. So I encourage people to say, go to the fertile ground and plant new seeds. Hold an intention. Time to go and weed out. It was a dream, but I also worked on it shamanically just recently, of the dream telling me, you know, the importance of tell your story and then to go back into the garden. And it was a beautiful shamanic journey of my helpers were there, and we dug out the roots and we ever so tenderly removed, and then we knew that these old aspects of ourselves, they served us. They were important at some point in our life, but they're no longer. They're holding us back. They're keeping us in a diminished capacity, holding the old wounds or misbeliefs. You know, sometimes we made false conclusions, and then we lived those false conclusions. So, you know, I help them to dig up those old cords of roots and then give it to the fire. The fire is transformative, and it's able to burn through, and then it's released into the smoke, and the smoke goes into the high heavens. So that's the type of work I would do with people.
So again, I look at, you know, being a psychotherapist, being a social worker, all these years counseling, there's just different ways of approaching the same problems in ways that can be metaphorical, ways that can be mythological, but there's a way of being able to create different pathways and different avenues to be able to connect with things in yourself and bring healing. So I know we're kind of finishing up here. So how would people contact you, Nancella, if they wanted to do work with you?
They can contact me through Zane's Transformational Times. I also have, email or calling me. I'm going to be working on my Facebook. I've been kind of behind time, so I haven't really spruced up my Facebook page. But Transformational Times, I have my own connection on the link in that. Or my full name, Nancy Howe, 1950, at msn.com.
Great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this way, at least they can take this radio show, they can listen to it. A lot of people are going to listen to this in archives later, and some people might be live right now, but I would say just, you know, they can listen to what you're talking about, they can see how maybe you can be helpful to them, and now they know how to contact you. That's great.
Oh, that is wonderful. That is really wonderful. And I have to say, I am so in such gratitude when I do work for others. You know, people are saying thank you, and I feel like I'm thanking them for taking me in such a sacred terrain and for me being able to just witness this beautiful transformation that happens with people.
I know exactly what you mean. I just am in awe and blessed. I just feel blessed by the experience of sharing the sanctity of their sacred journey.
Yes,
and it's just a beautiful thing to be a part of. I never lose that awe and that beautiful feeling of joy of seeing somebody opening themselves and becoming more free.
Yes, yeah. It's such a deep, deep heartfelt experience. And then we recognize our hearts just keeps on expanding and expanding and expanding.
Yeah. So I just want to express my gratitude for being on this show today. I know it's something that you chose to do and something you haven't really done before, and you trusted enough to be able to come on and share your wisdom, and I'm so glad you did.
Well, thank you. Thank you, James. It's been a great pleasure speaking with you. So I send radiant light to you and to all the listeners.
Thank you so much. And I'm probably going to be visiting Eleni and Zane sometime this summer, so I'll come over and see you at the same time.
Oh, that'll be wonderful. That'll be really great.
All right. Well, I love you, and I wish you love and peace.
Love you, too. You, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So here you just heard another light worker, another person that's living their heart, and you can hear her heart. You can feel her heart. Can't you feel the beauty of her heart? Can't you feel the softness and that just that beautiful gratitude? And that's what really happens. When you get back to that place of living your true heart, you just feel this softness. And you feel this strength at the same time. And you see this beautiful way of just everything being connected to you. And just you want to share this love. You want to share this peace that you feel. You want to share the good news that you have, that you are. So I really, really appreciated having the opportunity to share this truth, to share my heart, to listen to other people's hearts, to bring whatever healing is possible for people, to help remind people of their true heart, to remind themselves, no matter what they're going through, no matter what's happening to them, that there's something behind that, that there's something that's serving them in some way. Maybe they need to go back to that place of suffering and go back to that place of recognizing the beauty of themselves, or recognizing that they have that strength to go through their suffering, or recognizing this way of being humble and maybe learning to surrender, just surrendering. Because when you let go of control, very often you're letting go of the little mind and you're going into the infinite mind. You're going into that oneness in which everything is possible. So maybe at some point you said, you know, this is all that's possible, and that mind reinforced that. But when you learn to surrender and you let go, you go back to this way of seeing things from the bigger perspective. And very often that's because you're willing to have compassion for yourself. You're willing to let go of your judgments. You're willing to be kind to yourself. You're willing to give yourself what you need. You're willing to see other people in a way that they're learning, they're doing their best, and I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to look at them with love. I'm going to do anything I can to ease their burden. They're on my path, and they're on my path for a reason. There's over 8 billion people on this earth, and for some reason, this person's on my path. And if they're causing frustration, or if they're causing to provoke me in some way, to bring some awareness to myself, that is the opportunity. And whether it's your child, whether it's a coworker or your boss, whether it's a stranger you meet in the store, just say, wow, what is this about? How is everything brought together this moment, this person, this situation? And how can I be with it? And don't look for some way to get around it. Say, how can I be with this? How can I be with this fully? Because very often, when you're able to be with something fully, and it's maybe something you're not so desiring, when you're able to be with it fully, in some way, you let go of the need for that anymore. It's a way where you really were able to meet that challenge and face that challenge, and it serves you in that way, and then you no longer need that lesson anymore. You no longer need that person to provide that interaction anymore. That in some way you got that point, you got that lesson, you got that message, and now it brings you more centered in your own being, that you never need to repeat that lesson again. So whatever you're going through, whatever you're challenged by, just say to yourself, what is this about? Be curious. Be curious what this is about. What am I going through? Why am I going through this? And in some way, you'll be brought to a place of truth, understanding, and wisdom, which that's all that can be provided. And when you look at that, in that way, the universe, it's like everything is love. Everything is serving you. Everything is helping you to awaken. Everything is bringing more awareness, more light to the experience. So next week, we're going to do my final show. Please join us. I just want to thank you for joining us all along for this last year, and for Michael and all the support with this show, and all the friends I've met along the way, and all the friends I've been able to bring on this show to share their gifts. And you have these gifts, so please be willing to have compassion and open yourself to your gifts and bring your light to the world. I love you. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next week for our last show. It's going to be all about living your true heart and accepting yourself as you are and loving yourself as this beautiful light being you are. Be well.